Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Exodus in chapter 20. I want to preach this morning on the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Very interesting. I'd preach this on a day when we have at least four families down at a Detroit Lions football game. Oh man, I'm not going to name names here this morning, and it's a vacation. I know that. But just very interesting. And I know some of them very well. By the way, it's not Pastor Josh. He's preaching up in the Keweenaw. If you're wondering about him not being up here this morning. Would you stand with me one more time? Let me read Exodus in chapter 20 and just through verse 11. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Very simply, God reminds Moses and Israel, I am God. I am the Lord thy God. You know, the one that delivered you, the one that saved your soul. Verse 4 says, or 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That was last Sunday morning. You know, I lost my temper more times this week than I have in a month of, at any other month in this last week. Amazing how God the Holy Spirit prepares you for life. I'm talking about lost it on the inside, right? Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we pray that you would you give to us understanding, that you would enlighten us as believers as we study the scripture together. God, help me to preach clearly. I pray that no one would leave the church house this morning confused about the Sabbath. Lord, they'd have a good understanding of what it's all about. And Lord God, would you just help us to be obedient to thee? Help us to honor you. Help us to worship you. Help us to rest in you. And we'll thank you for every victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. 613 commandments in the Word of God and given to us. And the Bible says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. That is James chapter 2 and verse 10. Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 5, and we spent a little bit of time there, and we will later on with some of the other of the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, but Jesus said it's a heart thing, and he emphasized it again and again. And he said, listen, if you're obeying me outwardly, but in your heart you're not obeying me, you're guilty of sin. He told us that several times in the Gospel of Matthew. It is a heart thing, just like salvation is a heart thing. You could outwardly say you're born again. You could outwardly claim that you're a Christian, outwardly claim that you've been born of the Spirit of God. But if you've never been born again, you're not born again, because salvation is a heart thing. You could miss heaven by 18 inches, the difference between your heart, your head, and your heart. You could just give mental assent to the gospel and say, I know who Jesus is. Man, I know he's the Savior of the world. I know he died for me. Glory. And never repent of your sin. And never come to Christ. Never be born of the Spirit of God. Same thing is true with the commandments. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians that the law is our schoolmaster. It's our teacher. The law reminds Tim Rader that he doesn't measure up. The law reminds Tim Rader, the Decalogue, and the other 603 commandments, that the Decalogue, it reminds me that I have fallen far short of the glory of God, that I need a Savior, and that his name is Jesus, That is not an excuse for striving to obey the commands of God. But the fact is, our feet are made of clay, and we struggle every step of the way. Go back again to now Exodus and chapter 20. I'm going to say it at the beginning of the message, and I hope to say it several times during the message. And I mentioned it once in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm just trying to drive it home. I'll make the statement. When I get to the end of the message, I'll have explained it by then, and I trust you understand this. Jesus is our Sabbath. The moral law pictures the person of Christ. The ceremonial law pictures the work of Christ. Jesus said, excuse me, in Matthew in chapter 5, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The person of Christ, Jesus fulfills the moral law. The ceremonial law, Jesus fulfilled or completed that as our great high priest. He did what Tim Rader could not do. He accomplished what Tim Rader, a sinner, could never accomplish. He fulfilled the law. James, Pastor James, Church of Jerusalem, the pastor there, he said, whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, at one time, break a commandment of God, he's guilty of breaking all of the law. He's a sinner. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us that we need a Savior. Had God not recorded in Holy Writ the law of God, we would explain away all of our personal sins. We would get to the place in our culture, and individuals have done this, and you and I would do it, we'd be guilty of it, except we have the Word of God that teaches us right and wrong. And we would sugarcoat every one of our sins. Oh, it's not really all that bad. Oh, I didn't really mean it that way. That's you just took it wrong, you know. And we'd sugarcoat the whole thing. But the Word of God, the law of God, is our schoolmaster, and it teaches us that we are sinners. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is the only one of the Ten Commandments not repeated in the New Testament because it's ceremonial law. In fact, we'll read it. It says just the opposite. We'll read that in the book of Colossians. But let's look closely for just a moment before I build on this in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, Creator God, the Lord, made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, a pattern. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Our Creator, Creator God that created our bodies, knew that. And we're built to work. And God be merciful if you're not a working man. You're not a working woman. I mean, work somehow, some way. You got a purpose. We're built to work. But we also, Jesus, the Word of God teaches us, Creator God knew the bodies that He gave us, that there needed to be a day of rest. There needed to be a time where you do no work. Where you, in fact, when they were gathering manna, they didn't even gather manna on the Sabbath day. I want to build on that, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself just a little bit. The Jewish Sabbath is divine in origin. We just read that. Exodus in chapter 20. Turn to Exodus in chapter 16. Just go back a couple of chapters. Exodus and chapter 16. And verse 23 through 29. The Jewish Sabbath is divine in origin. In other words, originated with God and was instituted by Moses. Verse 23 says, and he said unto them, this is concerning the manna, this which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, that would be Friday, and seethe it that you will seethe, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to keep until the morning. And they laid it up till morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. This is an Old Testament principle. This is an Old Testament. It's part of the Old Testament law. And it was a principle that really should carry over into the New Testament, but it's not part of the law. It's ceremonial law. It has been fulfilled. It is complete in Christ. We have a rest that the world knows nothing about. His name is Jesus. And we're to worship him 7 days a week. Not just, and I'm gonna explain a little bit to you why we worship on Sunday instead of on Saturday, which is the Sabbath. Unless some of you are, you know, you think you got it all figured out and you're holier than thou and say, well, I honor God on the Sabbath. You know what? There's more than the seventh day Sabbath in the Old Testament. There were all kinds of Sabbaths. And I'm telling you, you don't honor God and you don't keep the Sabbath like the Old Testament Jew was supposed to keep the Sabbath. And I'll prove that to you in just a moment. In fact, how many of you made breakfast this morning? How many of you went out and had to do some chores outside this morning? You see, you're not keeping the Sabbath. And if it was January and you'd had a wood fire and you had to burn wood, how many of you would have went out and built a fire or stoked the fire? And you see, we're not keeping the law. Jesus fulfilled, because that part of the law, the ceremonial law, pictures the work of Christ. And when he came down from the cross, after he was crucified and he rose up out of the grave and he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, man, the work of Christ was done. It is finished. Salvation is finished. Salvation is complete. He fulfilled the law. And all that ceremonial law was picturing the work of Christ. He's done it. He fulfilled it. Okay, you could run with that and get into false doctrine. So you just kind of hold with me here. Just stay with me just a little bit. The law is good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The law is spiritual. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Unfortunately, I'm not very spiritual. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments, again, not repeated in the New Testament. You say, well, why the Sabbath? Number one, it was a sign between Jehovah and Israel. Go to Exodus and chapter 31. Exodus and chapter 31 and verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Number one, it's a sign between Jehovah and Israel. Number two, it commemorates God's creation act. We just read that in Exodus and chapter 20. And number three, it is Sabbath rest. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 9 and 10. I maybe have not said this. The word Sabbath actually means rest. Be still and know that I am God. It's rest. I have my rest in Jesus. Boy, I want to get to that part of the message, but I don't want to do it yet. Go to Mark in chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2. Kind of turn with me as quickly as you can. Mark and chapter 2. Verse 23. The Sabbath was given by God for man. Verse 23 says, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. This is Jesus. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Oh, the Pharisees, they had a fit. Ooh. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God, our Creator, knows what's good and right and best for you. There's that Old Testament principle of taking that one day in seven and honoring God and resting in God and putting God first. And we worship God, not on the Sabbath, but on the Lord's day. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I keep jumping the gun. I want to jump out of the starter gate and kind of run with a part of the message that I want to get to, but I'm not finished building the argument here first. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 9 through 13. By the way, the Sabbath was not observed before the law and not commanded after the law. Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. Hebrews 4 verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, a perpetual Sabbath rest for God's people. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then he goes on and says, and it seems like it's a strange place for it, but it's not at all if you follow through. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I have a rest in my Jesus that I never had before I got born again. And lest you forget, you've been saved for a period of time, you have someone that you can run to, and you do run to. You have someone that watches over you and cares for you and prepares a path for you, and we have a rest and a peace and a confidence, a faith, if you will, in God that the world doesn't have. You understand, the world out there is running in darkness. We have more technology to make our life easier than this world has ever had before. And I'm convinced that most people are running 100 miles an hour and they don't know where they're going. They have not the rest of God. They don't understand he's the Lord of the Sabbath. They don't understand the rest that we enter into as children of God when we follow him, when we just allow him to lead in our lives. We have a great high priest. We have the word of God, which is quick and powerful. And we have a great high priest. And in our hour of need, we can run to him. We can go to him and he's there for us. I have a rest that the world has no idea what it's about. None. You say, okay, preacher, then Old Testament Sabbath. What was the Old Testament Sabbath? Well, you might want to write these down. Number one, it was on the seventh day, which is Saturday. There's a cult out there that runs around saying they call themselves, they hold to the seventh day, and they're wrong. And they strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel and they're not preaching the gospel, and it's an amazing thing. And truthfully, they're not keeping the Sabbath. Because if they were keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday, according to our calendar, according to Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 10, they wouldn't work on the Sabbath at all. They wouldn't travel on the Sabbath at all. They'd never build a fire on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 3. It'd be kind of hard to live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, especially in the old days, and not build a fire on the Sabbath. That not traveling is Exodus chapter 16 and verse 21 or 29. And they'd absolutely do no trading on the Sabbath. Amos chapter 8 and verse 5. The command is to rest. Physical rest. As a child of God, it's important to unwind from time to time. They doubled their daily offerings, according to Numbers, in chapter 28 and verse 9, on the Sabbath. They put new showbread in the holy place on the Sabbath. It was a day of gladness. And again, according to Mark in chapter 2 and verse 27, Jesus just turned the light on. He said, the Sabbath was made for man. See, preacher, why then do we worship on Sunday, on the first day of the week? We're a New Testament local church. This is the New Testament age in which we live. The Sabbath was Saturday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. He appeared to Mary and Salome on the first day of the week. He appeared to all of his disciples on the first day of the week. A week later, that's when he appeared to his disciples, but it was the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit came on the first day of the week. In Acts in chapter 20 and verse 7, they celebrated the Lord's table on the first day of the week. Paul told Christians to bring their tithe to the storehouse on the first day of the week. When John was on the island of Patmos and God revealed to him the book of Revelation, he was on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. That's when all those things happened. We are a New Testament local church. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Every day is sacred to the New Testament Christian. We are to be 24-hour, 7 days a week New Testament Christians. We don't punch a time clock Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and, okay, I did my job for God this week, and the rest, that's not how it works. That's not for the New Testament Christian. We worship God on the first day of the week. We come together as an ecclesia, as a called out assembly, New Testament pattern, on the first day of the week to honor God, to worship God. And it's good, and it's congregational worship. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But we don't turn God off or kick Christ to the curb the rest of the week, the rest of the days of the week. We honor God. There's no difference for the New Testament Christian. There's no difference between the sacred and the secular. It's all sacred. All of my life I'm supposed to live for God. When we say amen at the end of saying prayers or having grace at the table, that isn't saying goodbye to God. Now I'm done praying for the rest of the week or the rest of the day. We're to pray without ceasing. It's supposed to be 24 hours a day. It's supposed to be 60 minutes of every hour. I live in the presence of God. I honor God. On the first day of the week, New Testament church, we come together and we congregate and we worship God together. But when you go back out into the nasty now and now, the nasty world on Monday morning, man, you are still that New Testament Christian. Yeah, and we're to honor God at every turn. Colossians in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Jesus, when he went to the cross, book of Colossians, all about exalting Christ and the work of Christ. He says, when he went to the cross, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. That's the ceremonial law. That's the moral law that Tim Rader can't fulfill. Jesus took my sin on his body, my sin bearer, and nailed it to a cross, shed his blood, died, dismissed the spirit, and then he went to the grave and then he rose again on the third day. When he did that, he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Some Christian ought to say amen right there, and ought to be more than one. That's why we're going to heaven. He took care of the law there. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, talking about the resurrection, triumphing over them in it. And then he says, verse 16, one of the more misquoted verses in all of the New Testament by part-time Bible theologians who want a reason for social drinking. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath days. You say, does that teach social? No, that's talking about the drink offering. That's talking about the meat offering. That's talking about Sabbath days and holy days. Verse 17 is the key, ceremonial law, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He said that ceremonial law, that was just a shadow. That was just a picture. That was a picture of what the work of Christ and what he would do. But now Christ has come and he nailed the handwriting of the ordinances which were against us and contrary to us. He nailed it to the cross. Justice was fulfilled. And I received the righteousness of Christ when he took that to the grave and he rose again on the third day. He shed his blood that I might have eternal life. So now Paul writes the church at Colossae, or for some of you Bible students, Colossae. He writes the church and he says, don't let any man judge you by your meat offering or your drink offering or your holy days or your new moons or your Sabbaths. They were all a foreshadow. Those Judaizers that are saying you got to keep that part of the law, they were all a foreshadow of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The body, the truth is found in Christ. So that is why, as New Testament believers, we don't worship God. We don't gather together on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. And if you know Levitical law, it's not the only Sabbath. There were Thursday Sabbaths as well, and other high and holy days as well. We couldn't keep the minutiae of the law. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Yeah. That's why he says there, man, he nailed it to the cross. Everything that was against us and contrary to us, because we're sinner men and sinner women, he nailed it to the cross. So don't get caught up in Old Testament Judaism. Jesus fulfilled the law. What a Savior we have. New Testament Sundays, that we meet, it's New Testament, we meet on Sunday. Old Testament Israel, seventh day of the week, physical rest, that was the law. New Testament church, first day of the week, it's a day of worship. It's a day of grace and not law. Glory to God for that. I rest in Jesus. Jesus is my Sabbath. Let me just do a real quick time out. The message is pretty much done, but you got to know this. Sunday belongs to God. Man, don't you miss church for other things. Honor God. That Old Testament principle, it was important to God then. It's important now. It's just not part of the law. Now, I mean, he fulfilled it for us. Glory to God for that. Go to Hebrews in chapter 10. We'll close with this. Hebrews in chapter 10. You know where I'm going. And verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Jesus is our Sabbath. In this world of woe, when everything is against us, he is our shelter. He is our hiding place. He is our tower of strength. He is that cleft in the rock where he covers us with his hand. He is our rest. We have everything we need in Jesus. Therefore, as a New Testament church, we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And there's always going to be those that'll skip church. There's always going to be those that have a reason. It says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. There's a pattern. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, without taking it out of context, here's what's going on here. Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Jesus is everything, whole book of Hebrews. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Old Testament prophets, better than the angels. Jesus is everything. He is our Sabbath. And I didn't get a chance to read some of the book of Hebrews where, you know, we can enter into him. He's completed it all, our great high priest. And he says, now, as New Testament Christians, saved by grace, never forsake your assembling. Never allow the devil or the world to diminish the local church, to make it secondary to any other event. Honor God, because in doing so, you're preaching a sermon, you're testifying, you're encouraging brothers and sisters in the Lord. They see you here. I guarantee you, everybody that's here this morning, every single individual, you encourage someone today because they saw your face here. They see you in church, and it helps them, and it'll help them during the week. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, like some people do, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another and encourage one another, and you're here for one another. That's a New Testament church. So in summarizing this, Jesus is our Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Old Testament saints, that seventh day, it's a day of rest. Sabbath, rest. Jesus said the Sabbath was created for man. God knew what we needed. And it is a picture of the work of Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath. He did it all. I didn't come to church today to gain merit with God so that maybe I could go to heaven someday. No, no. I'm born again because of Jesus. I'm born again because I repented of my sin and received Jesus as my personal Savior. I rest in him. Therefore, we congregate. We, ecclesia, called out assembly. We come together for the glory of God. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's needed. It honors God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.